Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
We got some hypotheticals here. I literally, dude, anything, any answer you want to anything. Literally anything. If you want to learn how to code, if you want to figure out how to make music on Ableton, whatever you want to do, talking points for the show, you throw it into ChatGPT. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. I got some hypotheticals here, and they're pretty good. You had to, kind of had to distill it down a little bit, but if you were given a one-way ticket to live in any city in the world for a year, where would you go and what would you hope to experience? That's a pretty good one. I'd probably want to live in... I don't want to go anywhere woke. Okay, go woke, go broke. Okay. So there's Auckland, New Zealand. I don't know anything about it, but it just sounds cool. I was listening to Joe Rogan, Israel Adesanya yesterday, and I think that's where Izzy lives. New Zealand would be pretty cool. I can't even do it, but there's a basketball player in the NBA, Steven Adams. That's how they talk. Steven Adams, New Zealand. I don't even know if I'm doing it right. It's almost like a South African accent. You know what I'm like? I had a professor at Samford University. His name was Laren Harper, and he was South African, and he had Parkinson's, bro. So every time he was a business management professor, and he had Parkinson's, so he'd go up to the board and. So this is how you run operations in a business. I'm from South Africa, Laren Harper. He was the best dude, and his piece was all, dude. I don't know if I can throw his mug up on the screen. I might. He was a young goat though, dude. Old goat. Auckland, New Zealand. Okay, that's somewhere I might look at. I mean, where the hell else? I've never been anywhere internationally other than Mexico and Canada. Niagara Falls, Canada, I went to. And then Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, I went to, which is where a lot of the gays like to go, from what I understand. You know what I mean? I mean, I've been to New Orleans. I'd like to... Living in New Orleans would be cool. For a year. I mean, it's like, do you want to go somewhere where you're familiar, people you know? Do you want to go somewhere where you know nobody and you're not familiar with the culture? I don't think I could bear living in Japan. It seems cool. I'd go for a week. I'd go for 2 weeks. But it sounds bad, but the language, the way they sound when they talk, it just bugs me. I don't like, because it's very, you know, the Japanese and the Chinese, it's like, I'm really bordering on risky territory here, but it's like the way, their language, it's about tone, Right. So it's like, and then I talk like this, and then that, and then that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to reiterate how I think they sound. We're not to that point yet here on this show. We might get there. We might get uncancelable one day. Y'all got to like, comment, and subscribe before I can be uncancelable. Okay. Auckland, New Zealand is a place I would live for a year. Sydney, Australia. I had a dream about Australia last night, and it was like all kinds of, in my dream, I was like doing something with the lady and the animals and maybe some other loved ones. I don't know. We were in Australia. I know that. And we were by a waterfront, and there were just tons and tons of different animals emerging, dangerous animals, like animals, I'm not even sure. Apparently, Australia's got every kind of dangerous animal you could think about. In my dream, there were crocodiles. There were damn land sharks. There were bears. And of course, I'm worried about keeping the animals safe. You know, I don't really care other than that. You know, I'll wrestle a bear. You know what I'm saying? I'll punch a damn Sharknado in the nose. You know what I'm saying? I'll get on a damn croc's back, you know what I'm saying? But then if they start to try and hurt my animals, that's where I get jarred up. And I was pretty jarred up in the dream. But maybe Sydney, Australia, you can't go swimming in that damn ocean, dude, because you get popped by jellyfish. They got these venomous sea snakes. They got great white sharks down on the bobby. You know what I mean? So we got Auckland, New Zealand, we got Sydney, Australia, places I would go live for a year. I'm sure there's so many other cool places, dog, you know, and I'd feel vanilla just picking somewhere in the U.S. If I had to pick somewhere in the U.S., probably New Orleans, probably, I mean, somewhere I know versus somewhere I'm not sure. Maybe like Memphis, Tennessee, down there in Memphis, down there in North Memphis, man, I ain't even heard, you know, but I like the music from Memphis, you know, Glorilla, Gat, Gat, Gira, Panda, that's not, I don't think he's from Memphis, dude, that guy, designer, was out there having a Jack on a plane. This happened years ago. Y'all remember Designer? He had like two hits and he hadn't dropped. I don't know if he's dropped anything, but
Panda.
Get.
I got bras in Atlanta, physical D in the front, credit cards in the scanner, physical D in the front, legacy, Panda. Where is he? Look like a Panda. Going to Lago Montana, 100 kiddies on the panel. I got bras in Atlanta.
Dude, that boy Designer was having a jack on damn plane going head up with the flight attendant. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ever seen that? It's some interview with Boosie, and he was talking about it. And he was talking about, did he go head up with the bit? And he was talking about, like, I guess people like get off on doing this in public where they're like, you know, having a time with themselves out in public where they shouldn't. And Boosie was saying this goes on in jail a lot, where you're having a time with yourself. And you make eye contact with the person you're doing it in front of. And Boosie called it in jail. He's going head up with someone. And he was talking about Designer on the plane. And he was like, did he go head up with the bit? Did he go head up? I don't know. I'm going on a tangent. All right. Let's do one more. Then we're going to get into football. If you could only keep three possessions for the rest of your life, what would they be and why? Okay, materialism versus sentimentality. If you could only keep three possessions the rest of your life, what would they be and why? Okay, I would keep my journal, and I don't know how that would work because if I could rotate journals, that would be beneficial. But even if I couldn't, I would probably just keep the one on me after I filled it up. Because I don't think you could put a price on documenting your own life. That's part of why we do this. I don't think you could put a price on that. And then it also helps with the mental health. I don't know if you could get by without a phone, man. I don't know if you could get by without a phone. Because you could maybe, but then it's like even a flip phone, I'm using one of my three things. Maybe some mail correspondence with the folks that matter to you. Okay, we got one, we got a journal. Okay. I don't know if my dog counts as a possession. You know what I'm saying? But if it does, I would keep Jasper, of course. I keep Jasper. But if he's not considered a possession, he's more my son. We're going to still keep the two slots open. So, got my journal. And then let's go with the cold plunge. That's my second. Okay. So we got journal, we got cold plunge. And then I don't know, man. The third one, if I chose a book, it would have to be just one book. And I don't know if I could stomach that. But I read all my books on my Amazon Kindle Fire. So I could have, if I kept that, I could have unlimited access to all the books I want. Let's do that. Done deal, baby. So we got the Kindle Fire so I can read any book I want. We got the cold plunge. I mean, fuck, man. Like, if you're only down to three possessions, is having a cold plunge really necessary? Because you could just, if you only have three possessions, you're kind of a free spirit already. You could find cold water naturally and not need the cold plunge. You know what I'm saying? So let's take the cold plunge out, which leaves us with one spot left. And that's considering the fact that I can still have my dog, of course, without filling up one of the three spots here. So we're going to have the journal. Hopefully we can rotate them out so that I can keep writing. And then we got the Amazon Kindle Fire so we can read as many books as we want without having to have multiple books. Okay. Let's see. I would probably keep my golf clubs. I would keep my golf clubs so I could keep playing ball, baby. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's my final thing. Amazon Kindle Fire so we can read as many books as we want. Journal so we can document our own life and supplement our mental health, okay? And then last, I'm going to bring the sticks with me so I can gear up and play wherever I need to play. Not carrying them around everywhere would be a pain in the ass. I'd probably switch my bag out into a little roller bag. And whenever I pull up to the function, they say, why you got your golf clubs in a roller bag? And I'd say, because I only got three possessions to my name. And swinging the sticks is one of the most important things in my life. You know what I'm saying? In fact, we only got about 27 minutes left on this show because I'm going to swing the sticks. It's your boy's birthday. And we heading to the boulders in Carefree, Arizona. Trying to get
below 100 on the scorecard today. We'll see. I ain't cold plunged today, nothing. I kind of popped up, did my thing this morning, and, you know. But, yeah, that's my final answer on that. Journal, Kindle Fire, golf clubs, we're good to go. And that's if I can keep Jasper. If I have to put Jasper in one of those spots, I'd probably drop the sticks. And the cold plunge, I don't need one because I could just be a free spirit and go wherever I want to get that cold water. Okay. This is a good one. I'll go over this one, and then we'll get into football, and then we'll do the deal. If you can master one skill overnight, what would it be, and how would you use it? Okay. If you can master one skill overnight, oh, that's easy for me. I'd master being like, I don't know what you call the folks at the football games that.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
They're on the mic for the whole stadium, and they go, "For another first down, Kentucky!" Or they go, "It's third down." You know what I'm saying? That shit, dude, I'd have a damn stadium of 100,000 juiced up, baby. If I had a job like that, big play on the goal line, games on the line, it's a night game. You put on hell's bells to get the defense going. It's the home defense on the 1 yard line. They need to stick their nose in there and get a stop. It's third down. Stick that nose in there, baby. Yeah. Or I could do, I mean, shit, man. I think I'd be right at home with, like, Bruce Buffer's job. Fighting out of Phoenix, Arizona. He stands 6'1", 185 pounds. The reigning, defending UFC middleweight champion of the world. I don't know whose name I... Oh, damn. I can't remember anyone's nickname. Sugar Sean! No. Sugar Sean O'Malley! It's time! Yeah, baby! That would be my one skill I'd be able to master overnight if I could, is to be like a juice man in a stadium or at a sporting event. But I'd also take sports commentary, like Joe Buck. Being able to sound like Joe Buck on the air, dude, that takes fucking years. Like that type of career, that's a 20-year, 30-year type of deal. Like this, where you put in a ton of work just to see. It's like planting bamboo, you know. You plant bamboo, you tend to it for 10 years and you don't see any growth, and then 10 years and one day it fucking blows up. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's get into what we got. Week 7 of the NFL, we got some of the top trending things online. Here's the thing, nobody knows ball like us. Nobody knows ball like we do. All right. Here's the first trending deal. So the Buccaneers lost to the Ravens as of the day of the shooting last night. It's a Tuesday, so that Monday night game just happened. Ravens beat the Bucks 41-31, I believe. So we'll get into that. But first, apparently the Rams are in the market for trading Cooper Kupp. This is via the Dan Lebatard show. Lebatard show. You know what I'm saying? This intel dropped today, the day we're shooting it, so it's still fresh. This is what they had to say about Cooper Kupp.
Kansas City Chiefs, is there a chance?
If the Rams are willing to take on the salary, I heard that they're willing to do, so they are definitely open to trading Cooper Kupp, so we'll see if they'll be able to get a deal done. I just don't think Kansas City has even enough money, even if the Rams were to take on some of that salary. That's been the problem and the reason why they haven't been able to go after a Davante Adams, an Amari Cooper, like we've seen other teams be aggressive with.
Dude, she's on Adderall, bro. Straight up. She's either fired up to be on the Dan Lebatard show, the Dan Lebatard show, or something, dude. She was juiced up. I've never seen that lady before, but apparently she's got some insider info. Rams are apparently willing to trade Cooper Kupp for salary or just like straight cash, which apparently shows that they're really serious about trading him. I mean, the Rams, they came into this weekend like 1-4 or 1-5, and they get a win at home against the Raiders. So they're starting to get healthy again. Here's the thing. Here's why the Rams are so bad at the beginning of the season. They've gotten absolutely destroyed on injuries. Their offensive line, obviously Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, they've got absolutely destroyed, the Rams, on injuries. So I don't know if they think that they need to, that they're in a spot where they need to rebuild, or they think they can just get some good value out of Cooper Kupp. Here's the thing about Cooper Kupp. Great player, glass man. Guys like guys like Christian McCaffrey, or guys that are kind of almost, I played with a few of these guys. Guys that are too athletic. We talked about this with Nick Chubb too. These guys, Nick Chubb, Cooper Kupp, Christian McCaffrey, they are simply too athletic for their own good. They're so explosive that their body's generating so much power, so much force. They're changing directions so rapidly that their own tendons cannot handle it. I played with a guy like this. He was actually in a linebacker room with me. The guy was a freaking, like, animal. Animal. Built like a brick shithouse. Could move like a damn gazelle. Kid was like 240 and cut up. Had the damn diamonds on his shoulders. But he couldn't stay healthy. He was too athletic for his own good. And a lot of my old teammates will know exactly who I'm talking about. But that's the thing. Can Cooper Kupp stay healthy? I don't ever draft him in fantasy because I feel like he's a glass man. I feel like he's kind of made of tissues. But I think it's not. Cooper Kupp seems like the kind of guy to take care of himself, to get in the cold plunge, to meditate, do all those, eat right, do all those things. And when you're a professional football player, you've got the money and the resources to have people in your circle that can help you with eating, that can help you with recovery. You can buy the damn, I heard Joe Rogan talking to Izzy about hyperbaric chamber. You can afford all that. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see if the Rams trade for Cooper Kupp. That's something to keep an eye on. Sounds like the Chiefs are in the discussion for it, but they couldn't make a move on Davante Adams. Apparently, they didn't try, according to Davante Adams last week. So we'll see. Keep that in mind. All right, back to the Buccaneers-Ravens game. This clip about sums it up right here. When you got a Bucs fan saying that and they're at home, it's not like this was in M&T Bank Stadium. When you got a Bucs fan at home that's got his damn tarp off, stands up in front of what looks like a Ravens away section and says, "You guys got the best team in fucking football. You know these guys are for real." It's basically in the MVP race right now. it's basically Lamar versus Derrick Henry. And obviously Lamar's got the edge because the MVP favors quarterbacks. I saw something this week where literally a kicker has won MVP before, but a receiver has not. A kicker, in the history of the NFL, a kicker has won the MVP award. A receiver has not. That's absurd to me. The MVP system's absurdly flawed. I think it's based on voting. I don't know who votes on it, whether it's coaches, players, media. I mean, obviously, you do the NFL 100, and that's voted on by players. So I would almost take being, if I was in the NFL and I was number one in the NFL 100, but I didn't win MVP, I would almost regard that higher than getting an MVP trophy from the league, because the NFL 100 is voted on by my peers, the guys I'm playing with, the guys I'm playing against. I think that's more valuable than a media vote. Now, if the NFL MVP is voted on by coaches, let's see. Who votes on the NFL MVP? Let's see. The Associated Press. A panel of 50... Dude, sports writers. Fuck that. That's a sham. That's why the system's so flawed. You got a bunch of people writing on it. Like, they're not a part of the game. They're not in the building. Like, you know, like, we're doing this show. We're a part of this media, technically. If somebody came to me and asked me, hey, do you want to be a one of the 50 sports writers that votes on the NFL MVP? I'd be like, no. I don't know as much of what's going on as the players, the coaches. Bare minimum, it should be the NFL MVP award should be voted on by coaches. Dude, and we'll get into this in a little bit. I saw current Vegas odds on the NFL MVP race. Patrick Mahomes is the Vegas favorite. You know what his numbers are right now? Patrick Mahomes has thrown 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, and he's favored to win the MVP. I get it. They're 6-0, but, you know, we'll get into the Chiefs in a little bit here. And I got boys on the Chiefs. You know, I want to see my buddies do well. I want to see my buddies eat, but it's starting to become a thing. It's starting to become a thing. What do we got for the next clip? So, yeah, we'll just run this. This was from the Bucks-Ravens game.
And they were trying to score. He'd bring the house on them. Here's Godwin for a first down, and now he's... Oh, no. He can't get up.
This was in garbage time of the game a couple nights ago.
Okay.
That was Roquan Smith that made the tackle on Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin rolled the living shit out of his ankle, and he's presumably done for the season. Could be done as a Buccaneer, period. He's going to be a free agent this offseason. Something like that. I don't know how long a bad ankle injury would take to rehab. I would guess at least 6 months. I could be wrong. But the league is investigating this play, the Chris Godwin injury, as a hip drop tackle. The league is that's happening right now. The league's investigating that. I got mixed feelings on it because Roquan Smith has kind of taken on this Baltimore Ravens. You've seen this attitude permeate throughout the Baltimore Ravens organization for a year. You got the big bad middle linebacker. Ray Lewis kind of started this mentality as a Ravens inside linebacker. I remember when the Ravens played the Bengals. I can't remember. I was a young kid. I think I had a baseball game, some kind of fall ball game the day that the Bengals were playing at Baltimore. It was like 2005, 2006. Chad Johnson comes across the middle, and Ray Lewis just like jacks his helmet off of his head. And I think Ravens middle linebackers, there's a culture there of like, you got to be the enforcer. And Roquan Smith's always talking shit. He's always kind of getting some extracurricular activity going on after the play. He's always jawing at guys. And listen, I get it. That was, as a, you know, I'm not saying Roquan is a talented player. He's got all the tools. I remember when Samford, my alma mater, we played Georgia my junior year, and being able to see that guy in person at the University of Georgia up close running sideline to sideline on our guys making plays, that was when I knew this guy is a hell of a player. But since I don't think he had this kind of mentality as much when he was with the Bears, Roquan Smith, I think he picked up this kind of like enforcer, kind of half dirty type of style of play when he came into the Ravens. And I think he kind of knew, like, hey, this is the culture. Like, I'm going to be this villain type guy. So I would think that that's part of why the NFL, other than the sheer film, like, it kind of looks like a hip drop tackle. But I would think the NFL's looking into that based on his reputation lately. I don't know. I love the way he plays. It's hard as a Bengals fan to like some of the things he's done, especially when most of the things I'm remembering are, you know, as a result of, like, them beating the Bengals or whatever. But the NFL's investigating that as a hip drop tackle. We talk about the MVP conversation. Here's probably the biggest play of the night from the Ravens.
And has been lighting up the scoreboard. Here's Henry, left side. Yep,
it can beautiful change. Block by Ricard, dude.
There he goes. McCollum, the only man that can catch
I don't know.
Him. And he does.
Should he have cut back?
Ricard delivered a great block.
I really wonder.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
If Henry should have cut back on that, or, you know, if he saw something that I'm not seeing. But, yeah, I mean, the MVP conversation is basically Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, at this point. There's nobody else that's playing at that level right now. And it's going to be a huge game when Cincinnati goes to Baltimore next. I don't know what week that's in. But, I mean, you take a Buccaneers team that is hot. They get some terrible injuries. Mike Evans gets hurt. I think he had a hamstring. Chris Godwin, obviously, we just showed that. Those guys are the heart and soul of that offense. So Baker Mayfield said in a press conference, it's like, hey, our guys, they got to step up. They got to step up now. And so the Buccaneers season, kind of up in the air right now. The Ravens season, you know, they very well could be the best team in fucking football right now. All right, Sunday Night Football. This clip was, I don't know if this is on a, I can't remember if this is a field goal or extra point. Minkah Fitzpatrick jumps over a guy, blocks a kick, they throw a penalty flag, and now the league is coming out and saying that they got this wrong. Here's the play. Special teams coordinator pissed off. Run this. I'm going to run this one more time for my producer here.
He probably hit the helmet of TJ Watt more than he did.
So I wish I was more well-versed on the rules here. I know you can't jump over the center on a field goal, the long snapper, until he has put his head up. And it looks like that rule might apply to the edge as well, but obviously 89's heads up. So that might be why the league came out and missed the call. That was a hell of a game. You know, Russell Wilson comes in. They go down like 15-6 or whatever. They score like however the hell many unanswered points. And, you know, Mike Tomlin says after the game, you know, y'all question why I put Russ in. I guess that's why I'm so well compensated, Mike Tomlin said. Steelers balled. I mean, that Pickens-Wilson connection was on fire. He was tossing it up. I mean, Pickens showed flashes of prime DeAndre Hopkins for me. That's watching him go up and get some of these footballs. It reminded me of prime D-Hop. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I'm at with that. The Steelers are always going to be, no matter what, and it pisses me off being an opposing AFC North fan, the Steelers will always be in the playoff hunt with Mike Tomlin as their coach. They will always be in it. It doesn't matter what kind of roster they have. It doesn't matter who's hurt. It doesn't matter who their quarterback is. They were in the race last year with fucking Kenny Pickett. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Steelers are an organization. I don't know what Mike Tomlin puts in the water over there every year. They are always in contention at the end of the season, no matter what roster they have. It is Mike Tomlin, even though he's only got one Super Bowl, I believe, he should probably go down as one of the greatest head coaches of all time. And that's coming from a Bengals fan, okay? That's coming from a guy that grew up hating the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin should probably go down. If his career ended today, I think Mike Tomlin's a Hall of Fame coach. I really do. All right. They beat the Jets, obviously. Okay, so the Patriots get waxed by the Jaguars, who are pretty bad, over the pond. I think they played 2 weeks in a row in England. Gerard Mayo, the head coach, who I've been back and forth on, you know, obviously the Patriots beat my Bengals week one. I want to overestimate the Pats as much as I can because I'm embarrassed as a Bengals fan that we lost to them now. Before the season, I was kind of clowning him. I thought he was a bit of a goofball. And it seems like Bill Belichick thinks the same. Gerard Mayo comes out after the game, publicly states, "We've got a soft team." And Bill Belichick didn't like that. Here's his thoughts on Let's Go, which is a Sirius XM production, apparently.
Hey, Coach, have you ever had a soft team? You know, look, I think when you criticize your team publicly like that, it doesn't always go over well. Not every coach has their own style, and you know, maybe sometimes that can be effective and all. But ultimately, I always felt like when a team played bad, that was my responsibility too. I mean, we might have had bad playing, but we had bad coaching. It led to bad playing. So I think it's always best to kind of, you know, take a look at yourself and do what you can do to help the team. And then, you know, if you have constructive criticism as a coach, that's your job. But I don't know. You know, last year the Patriots led the league in rushing defense, yards per carry, number one in the league. This year they're 26th or whatever it is. It's the same players. I don't think that those players on defense are soft, but they haven't stopped the run.
So that's the deal, right? That's the thing that has me so confused about this whole Belichick-Mayo feud is that Mayo played for Belichick for a long time as a player in New England, was highly successful as a player. But now as a head coach, you don't take accountability for your team being bad. Mayo coming out and saying our guys are soft would be like, you know, Jacoby Brissett or Drake May coming out and saying, yeah, my receivers just don't want to fucking block. My receivers are pussified, bro. My offensive line is you know, a little zesty at times. That's the same thing. Bill Belichick hit the nail on the head. I take the greatest coach of all time stance on this. I take his side on this. If you're a head coach of an NFL organization, you can't go to the press right after the game and shit on your guys. That's going to implode. I think the Patriots season is going to take a nosedive from what it already is after these public comments by Gerard Mayo. You just can't. You have to have, if you're going to call your team soft as a head coach, do it behind closed doors to your team. Don't go to the press, especially right after the game, the post-game presser, and say that to the media. You could go on Monday or Tuesday, whenever the coaches have media, and say, look, you could come to the podium and say, look, I told the guys after the game on Sunday that they're soft. They know that. They know they got to be accountable for the way we're playing. That's what happened. it's a lot different, and I'm speaking from experience here. It's a lot different. I've been a part of a good organization in sports, in professional sports. I've been a part of a bad organization in professional sports. I've been with two organizations, and I've talked about both of them. Y'all can figure out which one was good, which one was bad. But in the bad organization, it seemed like we always found out about news that pertained to us from the media first and not internally. And in a professional sports organization, if you're a leader, if you're a head coach, if you're a GM, if you're an owner, if you're a CEO, like you, whoever it is you need to talk to, you need to go tell them if something pivotal is happening before the media gets their hands on it and your people find out from the media instead of you. I think that like there are conversations that need to be had behind closed doors. There are conversations that the media can get their hands on. And sometimes you can't control what the media gets their hands on. But Mayo could control what he went up there and said in his post-game comments right after the game. And it shouldn't have been what he said. Bill Belichick said it. As a head coach, that's your job, to tell your guys if they're playing soft, but do it behind closed fucking doors. I get it. You're first-year head coach. But Gerard Mayo's been a part of great teams, Belichick coach teams, Super Bowl teams. He should know better than this. Do better. We're talking about the Chiefs. I found this video. This is just for fun here.
Let's see what the great Patrick Mahomes will do on this play.
But before we can talk about how great Patrick Mahomes is, we have a flag on the play.
Before the ball was snapped, pass interference on the defense, numbers 1, 2, and 3. By rule, the great and powerful Patrick Mahomes will elect where to place the ball.
Great and powerful.
Hail Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, it's now 1st and 10 for the Chiefs. Ball is snapped.
Man, look at the way Patrick Mahomes handed off that ball. Superb technique.
But let's check out the flag on the play.
During the play, personal foul, violating Patrick Mahomes' personal bubble. The result of the play is first down, touchdown, and Chiefs win by 50 points. Hail Patrick Mahomes.
Hail Patrick Mahomes. Hail. Yeah, dude, we were talking about that earlier. How in the fuck is Patrick Mahomes favored to be the NFL MVP right now? How in the hell? I get it. The Chiefs are 6-0. I get it. How in the hell is Patrick Mahomes favored in Las Vegas right now to be the NFL MVP? He's got 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. I think he's one of the best young quarterbacks of all time. But this season, I noticed it against the 49ers this past weekend. He's not playing at the level he's played at before. I think whoever, you know, it's like the sports writers, they're going to glaze him. And that's, I guess, who's voting on the NFL MVP, which is why it's flawed, which is why coaches need to vote on it, bare minimum. I think it should be a player vote, the NFL MVP, because there's bonuses involved. There's real money involved. I don't know what the NFL MVP bonus is. What's the NFL MVP bonus? And I got a tee time here in like 20 minutes. What is the bonus? The player who wins it might get a substantial bonus payment requiring me to, yeah, I don't know. There's probably different stipulations for different guys' contract. Like, you know, if it's realistic, if it's Lamar, it's like it's realistic for you to win MVP year in, year out. Like, we're going to put a stipulation in your contract where if you win MVP, you get a bonus of this amount, you know, based on your pay. Okay. I just thought this moment was funny. Tyler Conklin was getting pointed at by someone on the Steelers on Sunday night, and he did this. So fire, dude. You ever be playing in a football game and do some nice shit talking? That clip with Tyler Conklin, that's nice trash talk. It's like, no. It's like that clip of Christian Wilkins when he was with the Dolphins against the Bengals, and like he locks up with a guy and he's like he's like, no, I'm not scared of you. And then the next play, he gets locked up, and it's like, no. Me and my buddy Danny played receiver at Samford, and I played linebacker, so I'd be out in the slot covering him sometimes, and he would run a route. I'd be riding his hip, and he would be trying to smack my nuts. He'd be trying to sack tap me as he was running his route, see if he could mess me up. And then I'd get in his ear and be like, no. He'd be like, yeah. It's like somebody points at you, just like, it's ham nice of him, you know what I mean? All right, next deal from the Steelers game. We got to freaking get in gear.
Tonight, bro.
Oh, shit. Shout out my nigga, though. Oh, shout out my.
He knew he fucked up. Damn, dude. See, here's the thing. My grievance with the NFL in this clip with Najee Harris saying what he said in the press conference. You know he's going to get his ass fined. And you know that's why he shut up and like looked like, damn, I fucked up. If he was a UFC fighter, there would be no question that he would be cool. And I think that's why the UFC is doing so well. It's the authenticity of knowing that when you see guys from the UFC in media, you know they're going to be themselves. You know they're going to be uncensored, unfiltered. And the fans love that. I get it. There's a bunch of old boomers, grumpy-ass fuckers watching the NFL, and the NFL's got to pander to their market. You know, not as many boomers watching UFC or anything like that. They get pissed off about cussing, but it's like, dude, the NFL would be so much more entertaining if you could let Najee Harris have his moments like that. You know, shout out my, you know, like, let him be himself. That's my problem with the NFL. Like, I don't even watch a lot of the pressers other than the big moments a lot of times because guys are just giving manufactured ass fucking responses that they know are going to go over well with the league front office. It's bullshit. Like the NFL is growing like crazy and they probably feel like, oh, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're going to keep doing what we do and keep the game respectable and all that shit. But it's football, man. It's a violent ass fucking game. I get it in baseball. Like, you know, you want guys to be gentlemen or, you know, golf. But, like, all these sports can benefit from letting the guys be themselves, letting them not have a fear of getting fined out the ass if they drop the F word in a press conference on accident or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying is the NFL needs to model the flexibility they give in their player speech like the UFC does. And, again, the NFL is controlled by the no-fun woke mob, it seems. So maybe that's part of it. Dana White's a good red-blooded patriot, and that's why he lets his guys be his guys. But it's also the nature of fighting. Like, you can't control fighters. I don't know. That's just my take on it. We got to blow through this thing because I got a tea time in 16 minutes. All right. Cardinals beat the Chargers. Here's Kyler Murray.
Cardinals,
this guy didn't even look like he's running hard.
Murray on the move. Look out in space. Kyler Murray, it's a sprint down the sidelines, and they will catch him. 44 yards, that is always
in. I don't know how Kyler Murray feels safe when he's out in space trying to get separation. I don't know if he thinks it helps him, if it does help him get separation. Sticking that ball out, get some momentum. I don't know, scurrying like a little toddler. But he's fast as shit. It looked like he wasn't even running hard the last 20 yards, 25 yards. But he's still beating everybody, you know. But it's like, damn, if he had a defender closing on him and didn't realize it, like they could just stick, especially if they were good at punching the ball out, it'd be so easy to get that short arm, find that ball, locate the ball, and punch it out. And that's a whole different play, but it doesn't even matter because he, you know, separated from the whole pack effortlessly, it looks like. And those are the guys that are always the most talented or the guys that make stuff like that look effortless. So the Cardinals win late, I think on the last second field goal against the Chargers in Glendale. What's the next deal? Okay, so, and we're wrapping up here. Jerry Jones doubled down on his decision this time. Jerry Jones is fucking up, and I think his team not playing well is a big factor in it. But he said, Derek's having a career year. I don't know if he'd be having a career year in our situation. We don't run that type of offense at all. Derek didn't fit principally due to managing the cap. Okay, so he's saying they couldn't pay for him. That's cap. Jerry Jones got all the money in the world. He could have paid Derek Henry. But I do not think there's any other fit better than what he's got with Lamar on the Ravens. They're the best team in football right now. So I do see some truth in what Jerry Jones is saying. He might not. He definitely wouldn't. Derrick Henry would not be having the year he's having with the Ravens with the Cowboys. And I don't think he'd be having the year he's having with the Ravens with any other organization in football. I just don't. Maybe there's a few. But, you know, Lamar and Derrick Henry, I knew it was going to be a scary sight. We all knew it was going to be a scary sight. So I do think there's some truth in what Jerry Jones is saying. He wouldn't be having the same season in Dallas. But he is under a lot of fire for not breaking out the big bucks like everyone knows he has to sign him to the Cowboys. But it's a moot point. Jerry Jones, I think, is just trying to stay relevant because this Cowboys team is so horrendous. And that's it. I got a tee time to run to, boys. Appreciate y'all watching this long. Remember to like this if you enjoyed what we talked about. If you didn't enjoy what we talked about or you want to hear us talk about other shit, comment. And, of course, most importantly, it's the quickest thing you can do to support the show. It helps us continue to create good stuff like this. Subscribe to the channel and keep coming back because we're going to keep coming back. I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. This is a Week 7 recap. NFL season coming at you. We'll see you next Thursday.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.